Would you turn with me, please, to the portion of Scripture that Mr. McClellan read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. I'd like to thank our brother for the words of welcome. It is a joy once again to be in the church here in Toronto. And I do thank you for your continued prayer support for our work and witness there just along the Highway of Heroes, there in Port Hope. We appreciate your prayers very much indeed. Now, before we consider the Lord's word for our hearts this morning, let us unite together in prayer. Most loving Father and gracious eternal God, it is with joy and thanksgiving that we come once again unto Thee. We bless Thee, Lord, that we're found in this place of worship on this Sabbath morning. And eternal Father, we pray that Thou would come and, Lord, reveal Thyself to us through Thy holy word. And we pray that, Lord, Thou would give us eyes to see. We ask Thee, Lord, Thou would remove from our hearts and our minds, Lord, those things that are of time and sense. And Lord, fix our hearts and our thoughts upon Thee and upon those things pertaining to eternity. Lord, continue Thy blessing upon this congregation and upon Thy servant who ministers here Sabbath by Sabbath day. And grant our God that even now we'll be conscious that, Lord, Thou art one of our number. Come, Lord, and sit with us. Come and speak to us. And grant our loving Father our hearts will be touched today by Thy holy word. Grant us, Lord, the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. We might be able, Lord, to preach the word. And in preaching the word, we might preach Christ. For it is in and through His holy and precious name we ask all these things. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And the word that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning is found there in verse 10. Luke chapter 11 and verse 10, the words of the Lord Jesus to His disciples, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." During His earthly ministry, our blessed Lord Jesus said many things upon the subject of prayer. He also practiced what He preached. For the Lord Jesus was a true man of prayer. Quite possibly, the Lord spent as many hours on His knees in prayer that He did upon His feet in preaching. And here in this passage of Scripture that has been read this morning, the Lord shows us by His own example, first of all, the importance of prayer. For we read there in the opening verse, "And it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place." We can see the importance of prayer by the very fact that the disciples discovered the Lord praying in a certain place. I suppose we could say that if anyone could do without praying, it would be the Lord Jesus. After all, there was none holier than He. None more humble than He. None who was more heavenly than the Lord Jesus Christ. And beside this, He is God, manifest in flesh. And yet the disciples came upon the Lord and they find He is praying. God the Son is praying to God the Father. And so by this very fact, the Lord Jesus has set us this example and shown us the importance of prayer. He has done so throughout Luke's gospel. Luke is the evangelist that deals more with the prayer life of Christ than any of the other gospels. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated again the importance of prayer in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. When others were sleeping and resting, Christ was upon His knees in prayer. He prayed all night to God. We could challenge our own hearts this morning and ask ourselves, when was the last time we prayed all night? The Lord Jesus saw the importance of prayer because He prayed all night. Prayer did not appear to be as important in the eyes of His disciples. For you recall that night in Gethsemane, when the Lord Jesus opened His heart to His disciples, told the disciples how sorrowful of heart He was, indeed how deeply depressed He was, as the words mean. And He asked His disciples, His closest friends on earth, to pray with Him. And the Savior went away and prayed. And He returned and found those three disciples asleep. And He said to Peter, James, and John, what? Couldst thou not watch with Me 1 hour? At a time when the Lord sought the prayers of His closest friends, they couldn't give Him 1 hour in prayer. They didn't see the importance of prayer, because they couldn't even spend 1 hour in prayer. We notice also in these opening verses not only the importance of prayer, but the Lord Jesus gave to His disciples instruction about prayer. I cannot help but think, when I come to this particular portion of Scripture, of that incident where the disciples came upon the Lord Jesus in prayer. I try to place myself with those disciples. And they come to that certain place. And as they draw near, they can hear someone praying. And they get nearer still and they realize it's their Savior. And those disciples, I believe, stood there. They dare not interrupt him. But they stand there listening to the Savior pray. And then we read that when he ceased, that word ceased means to rest. When he rested, which would indicate to us just how intense the prayer life of Christ was. When the disciples came upon the Lord in that certain place, they didn't find the Savior saying his prayers. They found their Master intensely involved in prayer, wrestling in prayer. So much so that when he finished praying, he rested. You see, believer, prayer is a work. Prayer is a wrestling. Prayer is a laying hold upon God and not letting him go until he blesses. When was the last time we could say that we rested from prayer? When was the last time we had such an intense season of prayer that we were weary in body and we had to rest? Such was the prayer life of Christ. And when he ceased, when he rested, one of the disciples said to the Lord, "Lord, teach us to pray." Sometimes those words are misquoted. Sometimes we add to the word. The disciples did not say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." The word "how" is not there. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." You know what I think? I think as those disciples stood there listening to the Lord, wrestling in prayer, I think those disciples realized that in the past, they weren't really praying. They weren't really praying. They may have prayed, but they'd never prayed as Christ prayed. And that's why they said, "Lord, teach us simply to pray, because we haven't really been praying. Lord, we need to start at the beginning. Lord, teach us to pray." How often do we feel like that? How often do we feel we haven't really learned the art of prayer? We don't know what it is to agonize. We don't know what it is to lay hold on God. And if necessary, to pray all night as the Savior prayed. My, wouldn't it do us good if we enrolled in the schoolhouse of prayer And we did so with a willing heart. And as we got down on our knees in that school of prayer, we lifted our hearts to the Lord and said, Lord, teach me to pray. We couldn't find a better teacher than the Lord Jesus. You know, it is said that prayer changes things. So it does. But I would like to add also, prayer doesn't only change things, prayer changes men. Prayer changes us. Prayer would make us better Christians. Prayer makes us more holy. Prayer makes us more spiritual. Prayer makes us more gracious. Oh, then let us enroll in the school of prayer and say, Lord, be my teacher. Teach me to pray. The Lord then goes on to give an insight into prayer. In verses 3 to 4, or verses 2 to 4, it's known as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. When ye pray, the Lord said. The Lord didn't say, if ye pray. The Lord expected his disciples to pray. And he gave that insight into prayer. And then you have an illustration the Lord gave with regard to prayer in verses 5 and verse 5 through to verse 8. But what we want to consider this morning with the Lord's help is the words there of verse 10. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, for everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Here we have the incentive to pray. Do we not have a great incentive here for every believer in this house this Sabbath morning to give ourselves to prayer? Here is the incentive. The incentive, everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it will be opened. There's an incentive. Take those words, for everyone that asketh receiveth. Here in these words we have the pleading in prayer for something we are lacking. Isn't that what the Lord means? For everyone that asketh receiveth. You go to prayer and seek the Lord for something that's lacking. Lacking in your Christian life. And if you pray, you'll receive what you're lacking. We plead in prayer. Then we will receive that which at this moment we are lacking in our Christian life or our Christian experience. Notice here the Lord spoke about a readiness to pray. He says, for everyone that asketh, note what he said. He said, everyone that asketh. Everyone. And surely everyone has something they need to pray about. Every one of us this morning has something we need to pray for. Is that not true? Do we not have families and loved ones we need to pray for? Do we not have friends we need to pray for? What about the future? Do we not have things that we have planned that we need to pray for? Do we not need to pray for ourselves? If we have nothing else to pray for or pray about, surely we need to pray for ourselves. Are there not things in your life and in my life that we need to pray about? Things that are lacking. The Lord Jesus says then, everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone. It's a strange thing. But there are many Christians today and they don't see the importance of prayer. They don't see the need to pray. They maybe never appear at a prayer meeting. It's hard to believe. Do we not have things to pray for? Do those who never pray feel that they're like the church at Laodicea? The church at Laodicea said, we have need of nothing. Well, the Lord put them straight on that. And dear child of God, we cannot say that today. We can't say that with conviction today. We have need of nothing. Certainly we have needs. And the Lord Jesus said, for everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone needs to pray. Everyone has things that are lacking in their lives. Everyone has things they need to pray about and pray for. Remember the words of James. James says, ye have not. Why? Why? Because ye ask not. Because you don't pray. James is telling us not everyone prays. Not everyone asks. Therefore, not everyone will receive what is lacking. Is that not why so many impoverished Christians today? They're impoverished spiritually. Why so many are spiteful? Lacking grace. Why so many are carnal? Lacking purity. Why so many are hard-hearted? Lacking tenderness. Why so many are angry? Lacking love. Why so many are fleshly? Lacking the fruit of the Spirit. Why so many are proud, lacking humility. We're lacking these things. I'm not dictating to anyone, including myself in this. Because as I examine my life and my heart, I see what is lacking in my life. What's lacking in your life? The Lord Jesus tells us, everyone that asketh receiveth. You'll receive what's lacking if you give yourself to prayer. Then we have the reason for prayer. As we have already seen, everyone who is a Christian needs to pray because everyone has something to pray for or pray about. So there's always a reason for prayer, because there's always something lacking in our lives. Consider some of the things that are often lacking in a Christian's life. What about a lack of faith? Do we have that faith that the Lord Jesus spoke about? A faith like a grain of mustard seed that will move mountains. Do we have that faith? No. Then we're lacking in faith. And the Lord Jesus says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. You'll receive that faith that can move mountains. You've only to ask. What about a lack of fellowship with God? Are we in fellowship with God today? Can you say that you're like Noah and Enoch? Man who walked with God. Oh, for that walk with God that Enoch and Noah knew. I don't know what it's like. I wish I did. That's something that's lacking in my life. Is it lacking in your life? Are you walking with God? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Are we in agreement with God? Or is that fellowship with God lacking in our lives? What about a lack of a burden for souls? Do we today have a burning, burdened, broken heart for souls? Is that then not a good reason to pray if we don't have that burden? That burden that dear Robert Murray McShane had as a young lad. As he stood with his mother looking into a shop window. She turned to him and she saw him standing crying and tears streaming down his cheeks. And she said, Robert, what's wrong? And he says, Mother, do you not hear them? Can you not hear them? You not hear the trump, trump, trump of Christless souls going down the road to a Christless hell? Young McShane had a burden for souls. Is that lacking in our hearts? What about a lack of joy? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart today? You're saved. Well, salvation brings joy. If you lack that joy in your heart, maybe the joy that you once had, the joy that you once had, and the joy of the Lord was your strength, but the joy is gone. You're lacking that joy now. The Lord says, ask, and you'll receive. If you ask in prayer, you'll receive your joy again. That's what's lacking. What about humility? Is that lacking as well? Walking humbly with God? Or more often than not, does the old pride come in? And in your heart of hearts, you know that you're a proud Christian when you should be a humble Christian. It's lacking. The Lord says, these things that are lacking in your life, ask, and you shall receive. And then we have the reality of prayer. The Savior here explains to His disciples what it is to pray. He said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. There it is. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. There the Lord Jesus has explained to us in one word what prayer is. It's asking. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. In fact, if you look at this portion that was read this morning, note the number of times the Lord uses the word ask. 6 times in all. He's dealing with prayer, remember. It's there in verse 9, verse 10, twice in verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13. 6 times. And if you take those 3 words, ask, seek, knock. Take the first letter of those 3 words and you have ask again. You could say 7 times. The Lord taught His disciples, brethren, this is what prayer is. It's asking. Why do so many people think that prayer is so complicated and so difficult and so hard to explain? Well, the Lord Jesus has told us here, prayer is simply asking. It is as simple as that. And time again during His earthly ministry, He emphasized that very point. Matthew 21, verse 22, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. You can go through the Gospels and you'll find the Lord emphasizing this same truth. Ask. And dear believer this morning, whatever you feel and know and it has been revealed to you through God's Word, whatever's lacking in your life as a Christian, you can retrieve that. You can experience that which is lacking by simply asking. Ask. And mark the words, everyone that asketh, everyone, poor man, rich man, bond man, free man, educated, uneducated, you've only to ask. and you'll receive. Glory to God. Couldn't be any simpler. If only to ask. We press on in the next part of the verse. Verse 10. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. Here we have in these words, persisting in prayer for something we have lost. We must persist in prayer and seek that which we have lost. Isn't that what the Lord is teaching there? He that seeketh, findeth. And here from the lips of the Savior is another incentive for us to pray. Whatever we have lost, if we seek the Lord in prayer, we will find. That's what the Lord says. The Lord says if we have lost something in our Christian life, if we have lost something in our Christian experience, then the Lord says, pray about it. Needs to be persisting in prayer for something we have lost. Here's the remedy. What is the remedy? The remedy is prayer. In the first part of the verse, we mention some things which were lacking and are lacking in our Christian life. Things that perhaps we had or never experienced. But here in the second part of this verse, the Lord speaks about something which we have had. Something we used to have. But we don't have it anymore. It's lost. He that seeketh, findeth. You find what you've lost. And the remedy is found in the place of prayer. Whatever we have lost, we need to pray about it. Let us not drift on week after week, month after month, year after year, losing out with God over those things we have lost, those things we once had. What have we lost? What have we lost today? What about the power of God in our life? Have we lost the power of God? We used to have power with God in the place of prayer. We used to see more answers to our prayers. But we seem to have lost something. We seem to have lost something. We've lost. Have we lost ground with God? Have we lost our vision for souls? Have we lost our victory over sin? Have we lost our first love? Have we lost our appetite for the Word? Have we lost our desire to serve Christ? What have we lost? Here's the remedy. Finding that which we have lost. Seek, and ye shall find, the Lord said. Do we not need the power of God back into our lives again? When the preacher loses his power, he needs to pray. And pray. And pray until he finds that power again. Finds the power that is lost. Oh, I need to pray. Lost perhaps the power of God. Lost the presence of God. That is the conscious awareness of the presence of God. It can happen. It has happened. And what a heart-troubling thing it is when a Christian loses the sense of the Lord's presence. Way back in 1 Samuel 7, you read there about the Ark of the Covenant that had been taken by the Philistines, captured. The Ark of the Covenant, of course, is the symbol of the Lord's presence. And Israel had been without the Ark of the Covenant and the symbol of God's presence for years. And in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 2, it is recorded, the time was long. And I tell you, the time is long when you're not enjoying the presence of the Lord. Time's long. And sometimes in our troubles, we wonder where God is. We've so lost the sense of His presence. Job lost all his earthly possessions. Lost his children and the comfort and the support of his wife. But above all those losses, Job lost the sense of God's presence in the midst of his troubles. For in his anguish, this man, Job, cried out, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Poor Job. He didn't know where the Lord was. He lost that awareness of God's presence. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come before him, even unto his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Even though Job was aware that he had lost the Lord's presence, he was also aware that the answer was found at the place of prayer. I would come before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Have you lost the sense of God's presence? Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Find that that you've lost. Then we notice also the Lord here spoke about resistless prayer. That is, we must not allow anything to prevent us from seeking that which we have lost. What did the Savior say about the shepherd who lost the sheep? We are told in Luke 15, verse 4, after that which is lost, until he find it, he went out after that which was lost, and he looked and he looked and he sought until he found the sheep. He wasn't going to give up till he found the sheep. And you know, the story also included the woman who had lost a piece of silver. We are told that she lit a candle and did sweep the house and sought diligently till she found it. And when we lose out with God, whenever we lose the power of God, whenever we lose the sense of the presence of God, we must keep praying until we find that which is lost. We cannot give up. Why did the shepherd go on seeking the sheep until he found it? Because the sheep was valuable to him. Why did the woman go on seeking the piece of silver? Because it was of value to her. Are those things that we have lost as Christians? Are they not valuable too? That burden for souls. Oh, how valuable that is. That sense of the Lord's abiding presence. How valuable that is. The power of God in our lives. How valuable that is. Let us go on praying until we find what we have lost. Let us then be like Jehoshaphat and prepare thine heart to seek God. As the Savior said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I think that's a wonderful word. Wasn't so much a rebuke. It was a word of encouragement. Here's the Lord telling us, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't faint. The word faint means don't cave in. The word means don't lose heart. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And if the Lord is telling us that, the Lord is saying, keep on praying, don't lose heart, for I will answer your prayers. You just keep praying, don't lose heart. He's encouraging us to keep on praying. Seek, and ye shall find. That leads us to consider the result of prayer. You see, prayer produces results. He that seeketh findeth, the Lord said. So you will find that which you have lost if you seek God in prayer. There was great rejoicing when the shepherd found the sheep. That was the result of his searching. There was great rejoicing when the woman found the piece of silver. There was great rejoicing when the father of the prodigal saw his son coming and ran to meet him, fell on his neck and kissed him. And what did he say? For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost, now is found. Let us be glad and be merry. Finally, there is in this verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. There we have the Lord speaking about persevering in prayer for something that's locked. Something that's locked. Knock and it shall be opened. Whatever's locked, it will be opened if you pray. What are those things that we find are locked against us? What about the heart's door of loved ones that are not sealed? We'd love to see them saved, wouldn't we? But the door of their hearts have been shut. The Lord Jesus says, knock and it shall be opened. Just as the Lord opened the heart of Lydia. What about the windows of heaven? The Lord has promised to open to us the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive. Knock, and the windows will be opened. What about the door of God's mercy? If opened, it would cause such a great revival, it would sweep over this whole land. Knock, and it shall be opened. There's the action. It's the knocking, and the knocking, and going on knocking. Persevering in prayer. When I was a lot younger at this time of the year, still at home with my parents, I would go out around the doors with some of my mates, and we would go knocking doors. It wasn't for giving out gospel tracts or anything of that nature. But go and rap on somebody's door, and then would run away and hide. And watch them come out to the door and look all around. And then when they close the door, go up and knock the door again and run away, and then would do it in somebody else's house. You know, sometimes that's how we behave with prayer. We knock and then we run away. But don't keep out the knocking until the door opens. And listen, believer, the Lord has His handle, or His hand on the handle of the door. And He's ready to open it if we just keep knocking. The door's locked, but we can see it opened. And there's the answer. That's what we say, isn't it? We go to someone's door and we knock. And we come away and we tell our friends, oh, I went to so-and-so's door and I knocked, but there was no answer. Well, here is the door the Lord says He will open. He will answer that knocking at the door. If we just keep knocking. We may not open the door of our homes if we look out and see a total stranger there, especially if it's nighttime. We say to ourselves, I don't know that person, not going to open the door this time of the night. Well, consider this. If the Lord's on the inside of the door, And he hears us knocking. And he looks out upon us. And he sees us as his friends. His own children. He's bound to open the door. He's not going to keep us standing outside. Let us give ourselves to prayer. What an incentive this is. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I was weak and weary, and had gone astray, walking in the darkness. I couldn't find my way. Then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sin forgiven, and I was free from care. I found the answer. I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found the way. The sun is shining for me each day, because I found the answer. I learned to pray. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most loving God and gracious Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful, perfect example that Christ has set for us. True man of prayer. Lord, have us to follow in His footsteps. Have us, Lord, to kneel with Him in prayer. And, O God, those things that perhaps we have lost or are lacking are those doors that are locked. Lord, give us grace to persevere in prayer until we find, until we receive, until the door is opened. Lord, bless all who must leave now. We ask Thee, Lord, to grant each one traveling mercy. And dear Lord, those of us who remain around Thy table, O come and bless us with a sense of Thy presence. In the Savior's holy name we pray. Amen.